for amalgamation. In Monday's vote, Tantramar also elected several new and returning councillors. Alyssa Green was elected for Ward 1. Barry Hicks was re-elected in Ward 2. In Ward 3, voters re-elected Josh Gauguin and Alison Butcher and also voted in Tori Weldon and Haiti Robinson. Kristen LeBlanc was acclaimed in Ward 4 and Wayne Wells was elected for Ward 5. Wiggins Caldwell spoke about what the results mean to her, what she heard from residents while campaigning, and what she wants to change around communication and transparency at Town Hall. Here's that conversation. I'm here the day after elections, sitting with the new mayor, or to be sworn in mayor, Debbie Wiggins Caldwell. Debbie, how are you?
I'm fine, Clint. Thank you.
After last night's election and all the numbers, Tantramar actually had a higher than average percentage of voters turnout, meaning I guess it's more relevant and important to us in this moment. I think it would be safe to say you won by a landslide. You've been mayor of Dorchester, councillor, deputy mayor of Tantramar, and now you're stepping into the position of mayor. What are you thinking? How does that feel for you?
Well, I'm very excited about it, Clint, and I think the numbers certainly tell a story. I think there's a change. They want to see a change, and I'm just really hoping, and I'm going to work really hard to make that change happen, and that's meaning maybe into, like, transparency and making things more open. I'd like to check really on internal spending to see where our money's going to, you know, just to let everybody know, and then get to know the new council that's on. That's very exciting to be working with some new faces and bring new and, you know, new things forward.
So internal spending, is that something that's not available at the moment to councillors?
No, we do, but we can be more on top of where the spending is being done, especially in the times that we're having, you know, where everybody's tightening belts and people want to know where their taxpayers' dollar is going to. So make it into something that maybe concerns them, like services, say, into the infrastructure or the safety, the hospitals, the putting the firefighters back on the ground. So things like that, Clint.
And is that what you mean by transparency? You mentioned it now. You mentioned it on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
What else do you feel? Again, it's a new Tantramar. It's a new committee. What do you feel are some of the biggest challenges around communication and transparency?
You said a big thing right there. With a new council coming, Clint, we really have to make sure that it's transparent between the administration and the CAO and the council. We have to know what's going on. There can't be things behind our back when just all of a sudden it comes to the forefront and we're to decide on it. They have time to think about it and discuss it and all be on the same page or know what's going to happen. We can all have different opinions, which is great. You know, that's healthy as far as I'm concerned in a council. So things like that. And for us not to hear something, like I said just before this, hear it as it's coming put forward. That's not great for a council because we're voted in by the people. We've got to be the voice for the people. We've got to represent the people. And that's what I want to bring forward. So they know what's going on. Don't say, oh, well, what are they doing? We didn't know about this. Bring it. Let them know where things are being spent.
Okay, and speaking of being voted in by the people, while you were campaigning during this year's election, what did you hear most often from residents door to door, and how much do you think you'll be able to accomplish, and how might that shape your mayorship moving forward four years?
Well, the most I did a lot of the LSD areas, which most recently has been a huge issue with their taxes going out and what are we getting for our services. So from going door to door, I found out that people would like to say, like, you know, we thought streetlights. What streetlights is not really what they're concerned about. What they're concerned most about is, well, taxes being one thing, but having the presence of police service in these rural areas. And a lot of people, like they, if they live out in isolated areas, they felt threatening about drones flying over their property and seeing that. So that's something I'd like to look into with our law enforcement people and see what can be done about that. And like I said, it would be great to have their presence, even if it's once a week or a few days, just to walk in through these rural areas to let the people know that they're being protected. So that's a service I think that could be and should be addressed.
You've been on the council for 4 years, and you mentioned things popping up out of the blue,
yeah.
Whereas that doesn't sound like, mm-hmm. you know, fair to be able to vote on. Or do you feel that there's inherent lack of communication or?
What we found, like there was a close connect maybe between the administration and maybe the mayor, you know, and not being open and transparent with the rest of the council. You know, all of a sudden something would pop up. Well, we've been working on that for a year. Well, we've been working on that for 10 months. Well, why haven't we, the rest of the council that was voted in by the people, why weren't we notified about that? And that's been a concern with not only myself, but other councillors on the council would say that. Why are we not being informed? And that's something I want to work on. I want to make sure my colleagues, which are they are my colleagues, that they're voted in the same as I am. But I want to make sure they're well-informed. And I think being that way, then we can make better decisions. It's not right on the spur of the moment. We can think about it. We can do our research into it and things like that. So let's be more transparent. Let's the people, the residents, know what we're up to. You know, it shouldn't be a secretive thing. I mean, this should be a democratic process.
Thank you so much. Is there anything that you felt I didn't bring up or ask today that you'd like to ask?
I've got so much I want to, overwhelming for me, but I want to take one step at a time, and I'd like to make the process, and I can't wait to work with the new councillors and my future, or the other elected officials too. It's going to be great to get to know them and know where they stand in the community. It's going to be exciting.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time, Debbie. I really appreciate it.
More than welcome, Clinton.
Wiggins Caldwell had a warm message for all those who did not get reelected, as well as all those who ran in this year's election.
I'd like to give all the best to them. I really, really do.
That was Debbie Wiggins Caldwell, Tantramar's mayor-elect, speaking the day after Monday's municipal election. Wiggins Caldwell says she wants to focus on transparency, internal spending, and improving communication between council, administration, and residents. That's it for today. If you have any questions, tips, or comments, please email us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Clinton Davis, here in Tantramar.
This is only a test. This is a test of your patience.
Only on CHMA.
And here's your CHMA Atlantic update. New Brunswick's Liberal government has introduced legislation proposing major changes to the province's lobbying rules. Integrity Commissioner Charles Murray says the changes would expand registration requirements to nearly 2,000 more lobbyists. The proposed legislation would also give the commissioner power to issue fines and require monthly reports on meetings with government officials. Murray says the reforms would bring New Brunswick closer to other leading Canadian jurisdictions on lobbying transparency. Nova Scotia-born star Elliot Page says he is frustrated that after 7 years and $25,000, there is still no community well in Shelburne. The actor donated $25,000 to establish the well in 2019 on the heels of his documentary about Nova Scotia's history of environmental racism against Black and Indigenous communities. The well project has been fraught with disagreement, division, and delays involving the province and two municipal governments, a community college, and a community group known as the South End Environmental Injustice Society. Page says it's disappointing that after 7 years of efforts to establish the clean water source in the community, the well is still dry. Newfoundland and Labrador's Information and Privacy Commissioner has released a report about the cyber attack on the PowerSchool platform in 2024. Carrie Hatfield's report says the perpetrators accessed personal information belonging to more than 285,000 students, teachers, parents, and caregivers. She says information breached included social insurance numbers, healthcare numbers, phone numbers, and addresses. Her report says the provinces did not have adequate oversight measures to ensure that PowerSchool was maintaining reasonable security measures. Nova Scotia workers and businesses affected by tariffs and global market changes will receive new training and income supports through a $13.8 million federal fund. The Workforce Tariff Response Fund will support workers in industries including steel, softwood lumber, seafood, and agri-food over the next 3 years. The funding is expected to help up to 1,500 workers through retraining, skills development, and employment supports. Provincial officials say the programs are aimed at helping workers stay employed or transition into new opportunities. PEI has paused its community housing expansion program as the province deals with a record budget deficit. The program allowed government to buy private rental units and transfer them to nonprofits for affordable housing. Housing Minister Kent Dollar says the program is paused, not canceled. The province purchased about 250 affordable housing units through the program over 2 years at a cost of $20 million. PEI is expanding support for the oyster industry as it deals with the impacts of MSX and Dermo. The province says existing support programs for oyster fishers and growers will continue alongside new wage and interest relief initiatives. A new wage assistance program will help offset payroll costs tied to increased sorting and handling work, while an interest relief program will help businesses facing losses of at least 30%. An advisory committee has been created to help oversee the programs and funding distribution. And that has been your CHMA Atlantic Update.
Hi there, this is Anne from Mount Allison's Writing Resource Center, and you're listening to CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick.
And now for the weather. Today we're looking at sunny skies with wind northwest 20 kilometers an hour, becoming southwest 20, gusting to 40 in the afternoon, with a high of 17 and a UV index of 6 or high. In the night, increasing cloudiness with 60% chance of showers overnight, wind southwest 20 kilometers an hour, becoming light overnight with a low of 7. On Thursday, a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers and a high of 18. Cloudy periods in the night with a low of 7. On Friday, cloudy with a 60% chance of showers and a high of 14, then periods of rain at night with a low of 6. On Saturday, periods of rain with a high of 18, then cloudy periods at night with a low of 10. On Sunday, a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 19, then cloudy periods at night with a low of 6. Finally, on Monday, a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 21. And that has been the weather.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tammy, and you are listening to CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick.
Here's Brian Nielsen with your CHMA Sports Update.
Hockey playoffs continued last night, and in the Professional Women's Hockey League, the PWHL, it was the Montreal Victoire victorious against the Minnesota Frost at home. Montreal wins 2-1, setting up an all-Canadian Walter Cup final beginning tomorrow. The Ottawa Charge face off against the Montreal Victoire in Montreal. In the NHL, the other Montreal squad in the playoffs were on the wrong side of a 3-2 final. The Sabres win 3-2 against the Habs in downtown Montreal, meaning that best of seven series is now a best of three series as it's tied up 2 games apiece. Out west, it took overtime for the Vegas Golden Knights to defeat the Anaheim Ducks in Nevada. 3-2 final there gives the Knights a 3-2 series lead with the possibility of ending the Ducks' seasons in 2 nights' time. NBA action, San Antonio Spurs starting to flex their muscles over the Minnesota Timberwolves. It was a 126-97 victory for the Spurs over the T-Wolves at home. 3-2 series as it stands right now, with the Spurs looking down the barrel of a meetup with the Oklahoma City Thunder, a matchup with the Spurs won 4 or 5 games in the regular season. Back to playoff hockey, it was the Game 3 of the QMJHL playoffs last night. Chicoutimi wins 5-4 in overtime after giving up a fluke goal in the last 30 seconds of period 3 to allow the Wildcats to even force overtime. And then, of course, Major League Baseball was happening yesterday. Jays couldn't complete the rally in 10 innings last night against the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays win that one with a final of 7-6. It was the Giants over the Dodgers 6-2. The Cardinals defeat the Athletics in Western Sacramento 6-4 there. Mariners all over the Astros 10-2 final. D-backs lose to the Rangers in Arlington 7-4. Milwaukee Brewers defeat your San Diego Padres 6-4. It was the White Sox coming back to defeat the Kansas City Royals 6-5. Phillies with a 2-1 W over the Boston Red Sox. Mets get their offense turned around. They defeat the Tigers at Citi Field 10-2. It was Atlanta over the Cubs 5-2 at home in Georgia. Paul Skenes, another W for the Pittsburgh Pirates, lowering his ERA for the season to 1.98. The Bucks with the 3-1 victory over the visiting Rockies. Nationals a 10-4 defeat of the Cincinnati Reds at Great American Ballpark in Ohio. Yankees with a 6-2 victory over the Orioles. And it was the Cleveland Guardians defeating the Los Angeles Angels at home 3-2 in the early one. And a couple sad notes to pass along. Two NBA players passed away yesterday, including Brandon Clark of the Memphis Grizzlies, played all seven seasons with the Grizzlies. He was 29. And Jason Collins, NBA's first openly gay player. He died of brain cancer at 47.
And that's Brian Nielsen with your CHMA Sports Update. Please be sure to check out Brian's show on Mondays at 8:30 a.m. for more sports commentary.
Hi, this is Harry Manx. You're listening to CHMA 106.9 FM, Voice of the Marshes.
And now for what's happening in your community. Join the Sackville RCMP to celebrate Police Week with a barbecue. Visitors can also expect a bike rodeo, bubbles, chalk art, and vehicle demonstrations. Please note that a helmet is required for the bike rodeo. You can find the celebration on Friday, May 15th from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at 31A Main Street, Sackville, specifically in the back parking lot. Hydra and Riptide Dragon Boats presents their 2026 Adult Prom, featuring beverage tasting from local breweries, wineries, and distilleries. You can expect a catered dinner, dancing, prizes, a silent auction, and more as the event kicks off on Saturday, May 23rd. The doors open at 7 p.m. in the Tantramar Regional High School foyer. Tickets are now on sale. The event is 19 and up. Make Something Sunday is a monthly program that introduces new materials and ways of making art through informal hands-on workshops for kids 12 and under and their grown-ups. In this session, kids can create their own pocket-sized sketchbook, decorate the cover with washi tape and collage, and pick up a sketching pencil to go with it, making it a fun little kit they can use to draw wherever they go. Join us on Sunday, May 24th at Owens Art Gallery on 61 York Street in Sackville from 2 to 4 p.m. Drop in for half an hour or stay for two. No booking is required, and this program is offered free of charge. This May, buy tickets for the 2026 ballet production of Alice, A Dance Tale, hosted by the Academy of Classic Ballet and Modern Dances in Sackville. You won't want to miss this. It'll be showing at the Marjorie Young Bell Convocation Hall on May 29th at 6 p.m. and May 30th at 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. You can find tickets online through the Academy's Eventbrite page. They can be bought at the door on show days as well. And that is Alice, A Dance Tale. And that's what's happening in your community.
And that was your CHMA News. Please visit www.chmafm.com for more news and to sign up for our email newsletter. Funding is provided by our monthly sustainers, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and the Municipality of Tantramar's Community Development Grant. If you have a story idea or would like to include an announcement, please write us at news@chmafm.com.
Well, hey there, Sackville. I'm Andrew Shaver, host of When We Wake. Andrew, who? When We What? I know, I'm new here at CHMA, so thanks for having me. Speaking of, when do you have me? Well, you got me every Saturday morning from 11 till noon for a finely curated mix of predominantly, but not always exclusively, new Canadian indie folk and singer-songwriter. You know, Nico Paolo, Horsebath, Kaya Cater, that kind of thing. Along with some in-depth chats with the likes of, well, Nico Paolo, Horsebath, Kaya Cater, that kind of thing. It's When We Wake with me, Andrew Shaver, Saturday mornings at 11 right here on 106.9 CHMA.
Hey guys, you are listening to CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick, Voice of the Marshes. I'm Maya Noel, and this is the Late Morning Show. Today is Wednesday, May 13th. I hope everyone's having a wonderful morning and is excited to jump into some music. So first up, we have Edwin Raphael with It's a Shame You Swim So Well, and then we have Ari Lennox with Under the Moon. Enjoy.
The sky's falling on my mind like a shoulder. The clouds are pouring out. I could have told her it's better to talk when everything is meant. Better to walk. The shadows in your past hold on your hands so well. It's a shame you swim so well. Oh well. It's a shame you swim so well.
bacon cheeseburgers, no lettuce, no tomato, no cheese, no onion, no bun, no fries.
Yep.
Oh, and he said no silverware.
Yes, no silverware, please.
Okay.
Thank you. I eat with my hands. It's a paleo thing.
That was Ari Lennox with Under the Moon on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick, Voice of the Marshes. I'm Maya Noel, and you are listening to The Late Morning Show. And we also heard It's a Shame You Swim So Well by Edwin Raphael. Next up, we have Danielle Schroeder with Love in a Different Way.